Good morning, and welcome to today's edition of Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and today's date is Wednesday, April 16th, 2025. We'll start today's paper with the rundown of the recent Village of Sidney Board of Trustees meeting, this article by Ann Roten. The Village of Sidney Board of Trustees met on Monday, April 7th in the Sidney Community Building meeting room at 7 p.m. Village of Sidney President Jason Arrowsmith brought the meeting to order at 7 o'clock following the recitation of the Pledge of Allegiance by all in attendance. Village of Sidney President Jason Arrowsmith, all six trustees, the Village of Sidney Clerk, the Village of Sidney Maintenance Employee, and the Village of Sidney Attorney were present. Village of Sidney President Jason Arrowsmith asked if there was any public comment. There was no public comment, and President Arrowsmith moved on to ask for approval of the Monday, March 3rd regular meeting and the Thursday, March 13th special meeting minutes. A motion from Trustee Leroy Schluter, seconded by Trustee Matt Laurent, to approve both sets of meeting minutes, followed the review by members of the board, and it carried. Village of Sidney President Jason Arrowsmith began his comments by reporting that the board would look over Village of Sidney maintenance supervisor applications at the end of the meeting in executive closed session. President Arrowsmith concluded his comments by asking about the approval of a Village of Sidney ordinance written by Village of Sidney attorney Mark Miller concerning dangerous trees within the Village of Sidney. A motion from Trustee Tyler Bickers, seconded by Trustee Dan Gattikin, to approve Ordinance 2025-0-01 regarding dangerous trees carried following discussion of the ordinance. Village of Sidney attorney Mark Miller had nothing to report. Village of Sidney maintenance employee Eric Osterberg reported that the lawnmower used at Witt Park needs to be replaced or repaired as it is on its last legs, but that was up to the board and that the tree limb pickup for the month of April was completed. Eric and the board discussed repairing or replacing a string of lights in the downtown area, though no decision was made. Mr. Osterber additionally reported that he had obtained pricing for 8 dumpsters for the Saturday, April 26th, Village of Sidney Dumpster Day at a cost of $565 each, totaling $4,520. A motion from Trustee Matt Laurent, seconded by Trustee Tyler Bickers, to spend up to $5,000 on dumpsters for the Saturday, April 26th Village of Sidney Dumpster Day, carried. Village of Sidney Board Trustee and Finance Chair Donna Hooker gave the finance report. She asked Village of Sidney Treasurer Ashley Reinhardt if there were any additional bills and was told that there were none. A motion from Trustee Hooker, seconded by Trustee Tyler Bickers, to pay all of the monthly bills for March with no additions, carried. Finance Chair Hooker entertained discussion concerning a CD that the village has at the Longview Bank maturing on April 19th and advised that they renew it at a rate of 4.3%. A motion from Trustee Matt Laurent was seconded by Trustee Brett Harris to renew the 6-month CD at 4.3% interest, and that motion carried. The Village of Sidney Board Trustee and Streets and Alleys Chair Dan Gattikin entertained discussion of the oil and chipping of some village streets to include Byron and Victory Streets and some side streets. A motion from Streets and Alleys Chair Dan Gattikin to spend $65,000 on Village of Sidney MFT monies in this year's oil and chipping of Village of Sidney streets. The motion was seconded by Matt Laurent and it carried. The Village of Sydney Board Trustee and Water and Drainage Chair, Brett Harris, reported that the Clovis Court drain on the Sydney St. Joseph slab had backed up again and that it had been taken care of again. Village of Sydney Board Trustee and Public Property Chair Tyler Bickers reported that building permit number 798 had been issued for a fence at 104 North David Street and that building permit number 799 had been issued for a garage at 211 West Byron Street and that two permits at a cost of $25 each had been issued for chicken coops. Public Property Chair Bickers entertained discussion concerning the possibility of the Village of Sydney purchasing and locating a permanent live Christmas evergreen tree in the downtown area and reported that he could obtain one for $1,500. Board members in attendance thought it was a good idea to locate the tree in the village-owned lot of the previous home of the Sydney IOOF building at 203 South David Street, and a motion from Trustee Tyler Bickers, seconded by Trustee Dan Gattican, to spend up to $1,500 on a live evergreen permanent Christmas tree carried. Discussion concerning parking and the possibility of locating a pickleball court at Victory Park in Sydney took place. Lastly, Village of Sydney Board Trustee and Public Property Chair Tyler Bickers provided an $18,486 bid as well as a $5,650 bid for tree removal and stump grinding at 301 East Byron Street. A motion from Trustee Bickers, seconded by Trustee Dan Gattican, to spend up to $6,000 with JT Train Tree and Crane Service for the removal of the tree and the grinding out of the stump at 301 East Byron Street, and that motion carried. Village of Sydney Board Trustee and Parks and Recreation Chair Matt Laurent reported that the first game at Witt Park for the Sydney Ball Program will take place on April 22nd. Village of Sydney Board Trustee and Community Development Chair Leroy Schluter reported that he had spoken with the owner of ABC Hauling and shown him the village's proposed ordinance limiting the hours of operation for garbage hauling stemming from concerns over ABC's hauling's early and late garbage pickup times and suggested that the situation be monitored rather than passing an ordinance at this time. Board members in attendance agreed, and the discussion and possible passing of the ordinance was tabled. A 7:36 p.m. motion from Village of Sydney Trustee Donna Hooker, seconded by Village of Sydney Trustee Matt Laurent, to go into executive closed session for the limited purposes of discussing the employment, performance, and/or compensation of one or more village employees, carried. The board came out of executive closed session at 7:56 p.m. and entered the open session meeting at 7:57 p.m. A motion from Trustee Dan Gattican, seconded by Trustee Tyler Bickers, to adjourn the meeting at 7:58 was carried. The next regular meeting of the Village of Sydney Board of Trustees will take place on Monday, May 5th at 7 p.m. in the Sydney Community Building at 211 East Main Street in Sydney. All monthly meetings, unless otherwise posted, are held in the Sydney Community Building meeting room. Next up, we have our weekly report from the Philo Library. If you haven't looked at the Philo Library's Facebook page, you should. Thanks to Liz for the idea to introduce all our staff to people who may or may not know who we are or much about us. She asked us to include a picture and a little bit about ourselves, our tastes in reading materials, and what we like about working at the Philo Library. As the week moved along, she added one or two pictures at a time, and now all seven of the library's employees are there for you to connect faces with names or book recommendations with the appropriate person. Thank you, Liz, for helping us celebrate Library Week and helping our patrons know who we are and what our interests lie. And speaking of Library Week, I found the following on a Facebook page as well and wanted to share it with everyone. This letter expresses one of the joyous things about working at a library, seeing youngsters so excited that they just can't remember to be quiet. They're bursting with curiosity and want to look at books or get a library card of their very own or just sit and look at pictures and books. Keep them reading, and if you're a parent with a young one, don't worry about a bit of noise. It's a wonderful thing to see the excitement on their faces and the enthusiasm they bring when they come into the Philo Library. We'll only shush them if they're really too noisy or disruptive. So, dear little girl who excitedly yelled, "It's a look at books time," as she ran inside our building. You're our kind of people. Just look at our books. Run your fingers on the spines as you walk down the aisles. Sit on the floor and read a bit. Clutch the stack of books you're taking home as if they're treasures. Never lose your excitement. Love the library. That pretty well says it all for now, and thanks for reading from the Philo Library. And now we'll take just a minute to think about the night sky this week with David Leake's article. David is the retired director of the Starkle Planetarium at Parkland College and co-founder of the Champaign-Urbana Astronomical Society. And this notes will cover this week, starting today until next Wednesday, April 22nd. And he begins, "In 1861, Alfred Thacher discovered a comet that now bears his name. It orbits the sun every 415 years. Though it'll be a while before the comet returns, tomorrow morning, Thursday, April 17th, our Earth treks through the dust trail of this comet, resulting in the Lyrid meteor shower. One might see 10 to 20 meteors per hour before sunrise tomorrow morning, and the waxing crescent moon will not interfere. Meteors are bits of pea-sized dust that cause the air to glow as they slow coming into the Earth's atmosphere. This Sunday is Easter, and the date has astronomical connections that date back to the Council of Nicaea in A.D. 325. After that council, Easter was celebrated on the first Sunday after the first full moon after the vernal equinox. For us, however, the full moon occurred a week ago Saturday, meaning that Easter should have been last weekend, right? I haven't found a good explanation for this, but if you go by Greenwich Mean Time, which is basically the time in London, England, the full moon occurred last Sunday, making this Sunday Easter, and that must be it. Next up, we have our weekly rundown from the Tolono Library. It's beginning to look a lot like spring here at the Tolono Public Library, and we have lots of fun activities coming up. On Thursday, April 24th, from 10:30 to 11:30 a.m., join the Crisis Nursery for a fun-filled playgroup that supports children's development and engages positive parent-child interactions for families with children up to 3 years old. Snacks and activities will be provided. On Thursday, April 23rd, local artist and clerk Megan will teach teens how to paint looking up. This event is from 4:30 to 6 p.m. on April 23rd, that's a Thursday, and registration is required. The library will be closed on Sunday, April 20th, for Easter. On Thursday, April 10th, we had our stuffed animal sleepover. Lots of stuffies joined us for the evening. They had a wonderful time reading and playing together. And to observe Library Week last week, the staff had a blast wearing pajamas and rocking out in our 80s gear. You can find pictures for both events on our Facebook page. As always, please visit our Facebook page and our website, but most important, come visit the Tolono Library. Next up, we have Ann Roten's Sydney Scoop. Look for your correspondence, April 7th Village of Sydney Board of Trustees meeting coverage, which we just covered from today's front page. This year's Sydney Improvement Group sponsored an Easter egg hunt, which should have taken place on Saturday, April 12th. Looking for a feature article and photos of the event in this week's edition of the Southern Champaign County Today paper. The Sydney American Legion Post 433 will hold their next monthly meeting at the post home located at 221 South David Street in downtown Sydney on Monday, April 21st at 6 p.m. Prospective new members are always welcome and encouraged to attend, and all monthly meetings, unless otherwise posted, are held at the post home. This year's Countryside United Methodist Church, located 1807 County Road 1000 North, in Urbana between Sydney and Philo, on the Sydney slab, has scheduled their annual flea market fundraiser. This will take place on Saturday, May 3rd, from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Countryside United Methodist Church. New to this year's event, the church is kicking things off with a special early clothing sale taking place on Friday, May 2nd, from 5 to 7 p.m. Patrons of this year's flea market will find treasures like kitchenware, glassware, books, puzzles, clothing, linens, and household goods, and enjoy a food truck and delicious bake sale treats. The church is also accepting flea market donations, and they may be dropped off at the church at any time. All proceeds stay local and help the church's mission thrive. The Sydney Lions Club will hold their 66th annual Sydney Lions Club Donations Accepted All-You-Can-Eat Fish Fry on Saturday, May 3rd from 4 to 7 p.m. at the Sydney Community Building at 211 East Main Street. The Sydney Lions Club is also looking for new members. Anyone interested can call Sydney Lions Club President Bill Hench for more information. The next regular meeting of the monthly meeting of the Village of Sydney Board of Trustees will take place on Monday, May 5th at 7 p.m. in the Sydney Community Building at 211 East Main Street. The Eastern Illinois Food Bank Foodmobile comes to Sydney every month to serve those in need of food assistance, and they come to the Sydney Community Building at 211 East Main Street the first Tuesday of every month from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The next Tuesday they will be in town is Tuesday, May 6th, and folks can visit the food bank website at eifoodbank.org for more information. Also, be sure to mark your calendars for this year's Sydney Fun Days, which is scheduled for Friday, July 25th, and Saturday, July 26th. If you or your organization have news items you want published, drop a line to Ann Roten at P.O. Box 491 in Sydney, or call her at 217-688-2812, and don't hesitate to leave a message. Today's paper includes a lengthy discussion of the homeschool bill that is now working its way through the state legislature, but actually has become stalled. The bill's future is uncertain as it draws fierce opposition from homeschool families, a threat against its sponsor prompting a police investigation, and shaky support from Democrats. A bill that would tighten homeschooling regulations in Illinois missed a key deadline on Friday, but its sponsor, Representative Tara Costa Howard, said it's still alive and she's working on changes recommended by fellow lawmakers to get it passed. We recognize that there are some more changes that need to be made, and so we want to be respectful of the process, said Costa Howard, who's from Glen Ellen. And according to her interview with Capital News Illinois, I want to pass a bill that we can be proud of. And even though I'm proud of the bill now, I want to be able to take into consideration some of the other suggestions that have been made. The proposal, which was amended twice in recent weeks, would require parents to file a declaration of intent with their regional office of education. If a truancy investigation arises, officials could ask for schoolwork or lesson plans. Costa Howard introduced the bill after a Capital News Illinois and ProPublica investigation last summer revealed that Illinois' lack of oversight in cases where children weren't receiving an education. Illinois has some of the loosest homeschooling laws in the country, and multiple truancy officers told reporters that when they investigated a truancy case and parents claimed they were homeschooling, the investigation came to a grinding halt, even if concerns remained. In the worst cases, children disappeared from school and endured abuse or neglect at home for years before authorities could become aware of it. The bill has become one of the most divisive issues at the Capitol this session, drawing thousands of opponents led by two Christian homeschooling organizations, Illinois Christian Home Educators and the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. On Thursday, Will Estrada, in an upbeat message on the Homeschool Legal Defense Association's Facebook page, shared the news that the bill's sponsors, quote, did not have the votes currently on the floor to move the bill. The organization's chief legal counsel called it hard to overstate how significant this news is. Estrada congratulated homeschooling families for their efforts, adding, "The good news is that your phone calls, your efforts, your talking to your friends, your continuing to get the word out to the legislators in Springfield, your voices are being heard." However, Estrada cautioned that the stall doesn't mean that the battle is over. On Saturday, Estrada joined Illinois Christian Home Educators Executive Director Kirk Smith in a Facebook video message from a homeschooling conference in Peoria. They urged their followers to tone down their efforts during the legislative break that coincides with Passover and Easter. "We have kind of a change of strategy," Estrada said. "We want to limit the activity politically this week," Smith added. "We encourage those who may have friends who are representatives to reach out to them lovingly during this time. But let's give the legislature a little time to catch their breath." Though both organizations have stressed that their members should communicate their opposition politely with lawmakers, Costa Howard said these organizations have stoked fear, amplifying fringe voices. Since introducing the bill, Costa Howard says she's been inundated with hostile calls and emails, even including a letter she perceived as a death threat. The anonymous letter, addressed to Costa Howard at her legislative office in Lombard, referenced the bill moving through the Illinois legislature, the Homeschool Act, and it contained five lines. "It's all over the country. We all know. It starts here and must end here. If we have to break the sixth commandment, so be it. God said, do not kill. But he also said, smite thine enemy. We're watching." And it was signed anonymous. Costa Howard turned the letter over to the police, who she said are investigating it in her home district. The homeschooling bill has also drawn opposition from minority communities. Pastor Chris Butler testified against the bill last week when the amended version came before the House Education Policy Committee. "I'm here today as somebody who grew up in the Chicago public schools," Butler said. "I'm sitting here today next to somebody who taught in the Chicago public schools. And we too have grown up, and we too have something to say about the education that we received, and it is why people in our generation have stepped up and said, we must do something different. He argued that any regulation would impede minority families from homeschooling to escape failing public schools, and encouraged opponents to continue filing witness slips opposing the bill and speaking out against it. Editorial boards and at the Chicago Tribune and the Wall Street Journal have also opposed the bill. The Tribune said that the bill overreaches, while the Journal raised privacy concerns about the information that homeschool families could be required to provide on those reporting forms. The anonymous letter to Costa Howard was posted from a mail distribution site in Kearney, New Jersey on March 24th, 3 days after the editorial appeared in the Wall Street Journal. The return address was listed simply as The Rancher and the East Coast. Under Illinois law, threatening a public official is a Class 3 felony. The Lombard Police Department declined to comment but did provide, under a Freedom of Information Act request, a copy of the report that contained the typewritten, unsigned letter. Costa Howard also alerted the Illinois State Police regarding the letter. An ISP spokesman said that the agency assesses potential threats and determines needed actions based on the findings of the assessment, which may include further consultation, and if necessary, the police make recommendations to enhance security. Despite the vitriolic communication, Costa Howard said she is pressing forward because of those who've also reached out to her to say that they were victims of inadequate homeschooling and want more protections in the law. The bill missed a procedural deadline on Friday for non-budget bills to clear their chamber of origin. But lawmakers can request an extension, which Costa Howard has done. "The one thing I've learned about Springfield," she said, "is don't ever count anything out." Representative Amy Alec from Alton disagreed. "This bill was doomed from the beginning," Alec said from the House floor Friday after Costa Howard made a brief speech about the bill. Costa Howard said the changes to the bill have already been made to address concerns and that she's working on more. The amendment that passed a House committee on Wednesday, April 9th, provided more specific details for the declaration form, ensured that an online version would be available, and clarified that a truancy investigation would be required to compel families to turn over homeschooling portfolios. Another change addresses concerns from private schools, which had opposed having to provide a list of students to the Illinois State Board of Education. Under the change, private schools would only need to verify a student's attendance record if asked in a truancy investigation. Costa Howard said she remains open to negotiations on the bill's finer details, but believes that passing new safeguards is critical to protect children from parents who claim they are homeschooling, but who really don't follow through. "I do not back down from bullies," Costa Howard said, "and there are victims that have reached out to me constantly, thanking me because it has also allowed them to raise their voices and feel that they could speak out about the experience that they've had as well." And now we have some activity notes from various organizations in Southern Champaign County, starting with The Giving Place, which is open every Wednesday. This past Wednesday, The Giving Place served 7 families, including 13 people and 3 children, with donated food totaling $400. The Giving Place started as a way for our church and other community churches to minister to the Unit 7 school district and help those in need. If you know of any families in Unit 7 that are in need, please encourage them to visit The Giving Place on Wednesdays from 4 to 6:30 p.m. This concludes our reading of the April 16th edition of the Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and I invite you to join us again next week.